I'd like us to read the word of the Lord here this morning. And the passage that I wanted to really draw your attention to is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, reading from verse 6 through to verse 8. Now, as we look at the whole nature of the Christian life, there are so many metaphors, for want of a better word, that actually the Bible uses to describe what the life of faith is all about. And we can look in so many passages throughout the Bible, but I wanted to read one passage that really, in Paul's heart and mind, sums up something not only of what Christianity is in the here and now, but also the journey of faith that we're all on. And Paul is writing to this young pastor who led the church in Ephesus called Timothy. Timothy was the understudy of Paul, a young man who was schooled and mentored by the apostle and grew up with challenges, yes, even as a leader and as a pastor within his congregation. He would face all sorts of different things in terms of the responsibilities and the roles that he would carry as the leader. But Paul here is writing not so much of the outworking of the gospel as far as others, but rather very much a personal word. And very often the passage that I'm about to read is one that's read out at funerals, because it is something of an epitaph, something of a grand finale, something of what God has purposed for us all that is the goal of our faith. So this is what Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said this: "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." So Paul is not only simply talking about his own sense of priorities and perspectives and journeys and all of this and more, but he's also saying that there is something that God has for him that also God has for us. Paul is not some lone ranger figure who saw the crown of reward as something that he alone would receive, but actually he was almost a prototype, whereby as Paul walked worthy of that calling that God had given him, so the Lord has called us, as Paul would say to others, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." But it's all about this journey. And Paul loved his athletic metaphors, didn't he? He used metaphors from a number of different areas, but primarily he loved to explain and to expound the Christian life using various metaphors. And one of the most graphic of all of his metaphors was the fact that the Christian life is a race. It's a marathon. Sometimes it feels like a sprint, but actually it's something that we are called to engage with for the long haul. It's not a 30-yard sprint. It's a race set out for us. But Paul is very clear, and he says, look, every runner in the race, number one, has to run according to the rules. You run in a way in order to receive the prize. It's not enough simply to start the race. You've also got to finish the race. And in between, you've got to run the race according to the rules that have been laid down. Because if you break those rules, then you can be disqualified. And Paul said, actually, he was scared at one point that he would himself be disqualified. So he was very open and honest. Not that he believed that he could lose his own salvation, but he always kept in mind the fact that we have to keep our eyes on the Lord. And the book of Hebrews talks about the fact that we are to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So everyone here today has a race. Our eyes are fixed upon the Lord, but there are markings that have been laid out for all of us in order to keep us on target, in order that we might finish well, receive the prize, and bring glory ultimately to the Lord. And all of us here today are on a journey. It is a race. And God has called us not only to run with perseverance, but also with diligence, but with a sense of faith and vision, because there will come a time when all of us will finish the race. And the challenge here today is, how are we going to finish? Are we going to finish well? Are we going to finish in order to receive the reward? And Paul is talking about this and so much more, but he opens his heart, doesn't he? And he paints basically five different pictures, all related, but very distinct pictures, in terms of how he saw his own life, in the journey of faith, in the epitaph of all that God had called him to be and to do. He paints a number of different metaphors that help us not only understand Paul as a window through which we look to see God's purpose, but also maybe as a mirror in order for us to reflect upon and ask ourselves the question, where are we in God's calling upon our lives? So the first picture that he paints, albeit indirectly, is of a sacrifice. Now, sacrifices were integral in the whole Jewish Hebrew worship calendar in terms of atonement and priesthood and temple and all of this and more. So Paul was very familiar with the whole truths around sacrifice. But he talked about a certain kind of sacrifice. He talked about a drink offering, which was something that was poured out onto the altar as part of a sense of relationship with the Lord, but symbolic of the fact that when God calls us to offer ourselves, he doesn't call us to offer ourselves in bits and pieces, or to offer ourselves as far as the bits that we want to give to God and the bits that we want to keep for ourselves. He says you've got to offer yourself wholly unto the Lord. And he says here, doesn't he, I am already being poured out like a drink offering. Paul's whole life was all about being poured out, giving. Was there ever a time when Paul didn't give? No. Was there ever a time when Paul grew discouraged and weary? Yes. Did that prevent him from serving the Lord? No. In other words, in the calling of God upon all of our lives, we are called continually to pour ourselves out. But we can only do that if, first of all, the Lord has poured himself in. No wonder Paul would say, and the scripture is read here this morning around the Lord's Supper, for what I received from the Lord, I passed on to you. What I received from God was what I poured into your life. You can't pour out that which has not been poured in. And one of the dangers and the problems of service within church life and in ministry is that we give and we give and we give. And unless we are receiving for ourselves, we're going to run out. We're going to become dry. We'll become deflated, discouraged, weary. We need to be continually infilled by the Holy Spirit. And we can even suffer from what they call, in sociological terms, compassion fatigue. Have you heard of that? That face is one of the things that very often can happen to people who are serving others continually. And they just grow weary. What they do is right and honourable, but they just grow weary of continually trying to help everybody else. And that can affect anyone who serves people. We have to be on our guard about these things. But there's something that's more important, and that's ensuring that we are receiving from God. No wonder the Bible would say that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled is the present ongoing tense. In other words, we've got to be continually receiving from God. And if you're serving the Lord, you need to make sure that as you are being poured out, God, first of all, is pouring in. Because if God is not pouring in, then you're going to run out of steam and you're going to become weary and you're going to dry up. And Paul was very mindful of this, and he recognized the fact that he was entering into the finale of his life. For the time of my departure, or exodus, is near. He recognized that he was coming to the end of his life, his earthly ministry. But he would finish having accomplished and completed the work that God would give him to do. Poured out, giving his life. As Jesus gave his life as a ransom for many, so Paul recognized that he was called to give his life, as we are called to give our lives, not necessarily physically, but we are called to serve one another, aren't we? We are called to receive from the Lord, because only what you receive from the Lord is what you can give out to others. Don't try and serve the Lord without first of all receiving something of him and from him, both his hand and his face, a gift and glory are the two things that always go together. So that's the first picture Paul paints. It's of a sacrifice, and he was being poured out. The second picture was of a boxer. It says here, I have fought the good fight. Later on, in another book called 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 26, he would say, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. So what is Paul saying? He says, well, as a runner, I keep going. I know the track. I know the goal. I know the purpose. I'm intent and I'm focused. But he says also, I'm not a shadow boxer. He's not going around trying to appear to be an apostle or appear to be a Christian or to appear outwardly to do the things that God had called him to do. No, in reality, he practiced what he preached. And he wasn't a shadow boxer in any way, shape or form. He was someone who fought the good fight. And he recognized that the weapons of his warfare, as indeed for us, are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So Paul recognized that he was called to be a fighter, but the battle was the Lord's. He was called to be a soldier, but the battle had already been won. He wasn't a shadow boxer. He says, I have fought the good fight. Is the Christian life a battle? Yes. Is it continually a battle? Well, for some, maybe. Yes, every day the Bible says we have to put on the full armor of God. Nowhere does it say take it off. He says put it on. And Paul talks about this in Ephesians 6, doesn't he? In terms of that armor, resembling the Roman soldier, that we are to put on to guard against the enemy's attacks, those fiery darts, those moments when the enemy comes against us, we are to be protected by the armor of light, which is Jesus' armor, not ours. And the word of the Lord is very clear. Paul was a sacrifice. He was a boxer. Thirdly, he says of himself that I was a runner. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Hallelujah. Let it be said of all of us that when that day comes, we have finished the race. Whatever day that is, because the Bible says God has appointed one day when we will die and face the judgment. It's appointed unto every single one of us, isn't it? You can't avoid it. It's something that we'll all face at one point or another. When will that day come? Well, we're not told. And I'm glad we don't know what that day is. But until that day occurs, we are called to be faithful in the work and in the assignment that God has given to every single one of us. He says, I have finished the race. And then he'd go on to say, and this is the fourth picture that he paints of himself, and it's the picture of a steward. He says, I have kept the faith. What is a steward? A steward is someone who has been entrusted with something. What they have been trusted with, they do not own, because what they receive belongs to another. But Paul himself was a steward of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was a steward of the mysteries of faith. He was a steward of the ministry that God had called him to fulfill. This ministry of reconciliation. And as believers, we need to understand here today that all of us are stewards of God's infinite grace and mercy. It means it's a gift. You've received it. It's not yours as a title deed. It is Christ's. It's what he has purchased and what he has then entrusted to every single one of us. He says, I have kept the faith. And if you look at Paul's life, keeping the faith was no small issue, because it was through trials and testings, beatings, floggings, imprisonments, wild animals, rejection by his kinsmen, all sorts of hostility. It's easy to keep the faith when the sun is out and everything is on your side and everyone is your friend. But Paul faced all sorts of manner of hostility and trial and test. And it's in those days that the true test of faith, the true guarantee of our faith, and also the true nature of our faith is truly seen and revealed for what it is. Peter and James talks about the fact that these trials, which come in many shapes and forms, are there to test our faith, to refine our faith, that it might be proved genuine. And Paul can honestly say, in all humility and wisdom, that he had been a faithful minister of the grace of God, entrusted with the mysteries of God's kingdom. And that's what we are. That's what we all are here today, isn't it? Stewards of the mysteries of God. Those whom the Lord has entrusted his word to. This message and ministry of reconciliation. And then Paul moves on to the fifth picture that he paints here today. It's a different kind of picture, but no less significant, because he would go on to say this. There is now in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. So Paul's a king. He has a head upon which a crown is going to be placed. But it's not his crown, it's Jesus' crown. But this was the great hope that Paul had, that through all the adversities, through all the battles and the blessings, there was something far greater than the here and now, and that was the eternal promise of God over his life. That's what kept him faithful. That's what kept him focused. That what God did in his life is what brought strength, courage, and vision in every aspect of what God had called him to do. Now, all of this, the life of a sacrifice, the boxer, the runner, the steward, the king, all of that relates to you. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So what we can learn from Paul today is that God calls us as he called him. Now, we know that Paul had very much a unique ministry. He did things which had not been done before. As an apostle, a groundbreaking pioneer ministry, an evangelist, a teacher, a pastor, and so much more. And yet his life just resonates, doesn't it, with a challenge to every single one of us. That you can put yourself into this text. Because Paul would then finish off by saying, this award, this crown of righteousness, is not only for him, but also it is for all those who are longing for his appearing. So if you're longing for the appearing of the Lord here today, you're right here in the center of this text. This is for you today. This is God's word over your life. But we have to remain vigilant. We have to remain committed. We have to remain faithful, focused and dedicated in the calling of God over our lives. Now, we're not talking about works-based righteousness. We're not talking about this crown of righteousness being something that we've earned through merit and hard work. It is a gift of grace. But when we keep our eyes on the Lord here today, this is what keeps us in the race. Why do people fall away? Because they take their eyes off Jesus. Why do people stumble in many ways? and forsake the Lord? Well, it's because of some of the reasons why Paul gives us. That they've allowed the affairs of this life, the wiles of the enemy, and so much more to rob them of the true vision that God has placed within their hearts. This is a promise to everyone here this morning who knows the Lord. So we can all say, like Paul, yes, there will come a time when my departure or my exodus will be upon me. Jesus talked about his own exodus. There's other references to the exodus throughout the Bible in different ways and at different times. But there's an exodus for us all, isn't there? It's the gateway. It's the door from this life to the next. Death is not the end. It's the beginning. Death is just a doorway where we lay aside this earthly tent and are clothed with a heavenly tent, just like Jesus is. Nothing to fear, unless, of course, we don't know the Lord. And if you don't know the Lord here this morning, then when that day comes, and it will, that appointed moment when you'll face death, what certainty do you have? Because the only certainty that we have for everlasting life is that we know the Lord. We have confidence and trust, not in our efforts, but in his finished work. The fact that he gave his life for us as a ransom for many. That is the blessed hope, isn't it? That is what we hold in our hearts as a dear gift that God alone has given to us. So there's coming a day when a crown of righteousness will be placed upon your head. Hallelujah. The reward of faithfulness, diligence, service, loyalty and faith, and so much more. Amen. Let's just pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you today, Lord, because of the simple truths, Lord, that Paul expresses, and yet so profound and life-transforming. We ask you, O God, just to fill our hearts. And I just think that the Lord would just remind us here today, keep going, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Some of you need to hear that. You've been faithful through thick and thin. Faithful when others have been faithless. You've been faithful when it would have been so easy to throw in the towel and just walk off. But you've remained faithful. And God will honour you and has honoured you. But there's coming a greater honour. Stay faithful. If you look to people, you'll be discouraged and you will falter. But look to the Lord and he will keep you. He will guard you. He will make your feet as hinds' feet on high places. Keep your eyes on the Lord here today. In the name of Jesus. Amen.